Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
This is Internet Marketing.
Today, I am joined by Marcos Alvarez Martin, our senior SEO analyst at Site Visibility. Marcos, say hello.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Hi. I always feel strange asking people to say hello. It's like a demand. Yeah. So Marcos has been at Site Visibility. How long now, Marcos? 4.5 years? Is that about right?
I think now it's been 5 and a half.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I think after four, that's when you just start losing track. Yeah. I've lost track of how long I've been at Site Visibility now as well. Mm. But Marcos has been with us a very long time. He's primarily been our SEO specialist within the team and has kind of developed over the years into a senior SEO analyst role. And was it a year ago now, Marcos? Just under?
Yeah. It was at the end of June.
At the end of June. Oh, there you go. So around a year ago, Marcos moved from Brighton back to his homeland, Tenerife, and now works with Site Visibility full-time remote, although does join us in the office occasionally, which we'll probably touch on. So given the pandemic and lots of decisions being made by businesses about when to return to work, how to adjust to life, remote working, and the impact that post-pandemic this will have on businesses, there are going to be lots of decisions to be made in terms of offering flexibility to staff, when or if to go back to an office environment at all. And so I thought one of the best people to get on the podcast to talk about this topic would be Marcos. Marcos has experienced this, and I think when we're making this decision, we need to make this decision with our staff and get their input. And so Marcos, with the title today of Inside the Mind of a Remote SEO Analyst, which sounds very intimidating, but we're going to jump into your thoughts and feelings on the topic, Marcos, which I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah.
So take me back, I guess, a year ago, maybe even longer, and just if you could start by talking me through some of your decisions and the decision-making process that you went through when you decided it was time to return to Tenerife.
Yeah. So everything started quite a few months before I actually moved. The reasons why I decided that it could be a good option for me is first because I'm from Spain, I'm from Tenerife. I left Tenerife in the year 2009 to go to Madrid to study. And then from there, I moved to the UK to start working in there. So it had been by then 10 years since I moved out. And I missed it. I missed being close to my family, my friends. The sun may have something to do with it as well. So I was thinking that it was time for me to come back home. But at the same time, I was enjoying so much the work I was doing with Site Visibility. As you say, I have developed into a senior role. I was having more responsibilities as part of the team. I enjoy the clients that we have. I wanted to come back, but at the same time, I was enjoying the work that I was doing there. And what made me think that it could be a possibility for me to move back was first the fact that in the company, we always have calls and conference call platforms to speak with clients. So we don't always see face-to-face. We have the usual review meetings. For the clients that are closer to us, we see them more often. But really the work that we're doing, digital marketing, we can do it online. And then, Serviceability was already offering the possibility to do flexible work, people working from home some days. We have already a member of the team working remotely from London. So I thought, well, this could be a possibility for me too. And that's when I brought it up to the company.
So you mentioned there that you'd kind of been thinking or maybe been a bit homesick for a while, and yet you were enjoying your work. Was there anything that made you pull the trigger and say, all right, now is the time that I'm going to ask? Was there any kind of event or moment, or was it just a culmination of everything?
I have to say that Brexit was a turning point. It was a moment where I thought, okay, what's going to happen now? I didn't know what was going to happen with Europeans living in the UK. And it was something that was already in my mind in a way. But I think that Brexit was a trigger point that made me think about the right time to do that more.
That makes sense. Yeah, I mean, ultimately, if you're feeling a culmination of all of those different points that you just said, you know, missing family, son, and wanted to go back home after 10 years or so. Brexit, I imagine, just the emotional labour, at that particular time as well, even a year ago and before that, the uncertainty would be enough to kind of say, right now is the time.
Yeah.
So I understand that. And then I think what I'm curious about is then in terms of communicating that, and then kind of, I guess, was there any fear, because you said you were enjoying your work, was there any fear of approaching that topic in our team, or did you feel pretty comfortable with that?
There was clearly a fear, because I didn't know what to expect, really. So it took a lot of time, really, to really come up and say it to senior management and then to the rest of the team. Because we're a small team and we work very close with each other. And sometimes it's just very easy to turn around to the person next to you and ask them something. And I was aware that if it wasn't there, that was not going to happen.
Right.
And then it was also all the things going on in my mind, thinking everyone has to go to work and I'm going to stay home. And at some point, there was also guilt. Of thinking, moving away and leaving everyone behind, doing the bulk of the work, but it wasn't true, because I've been working as hard as when I was there in Brighton, but at the time I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know what to expect, so I did feel a bit guilty for going away.
Yeah, that's such an. We were talking about this, I remember briefly, the other day, and. I remember this is just a fascinating thought. In the introduction of the podcast, I was talking about, you know, getting you on the podcast to talk about your perspective on feelings and thoughts. So I guess that business owners or even people that are in the same position as you, they know how to approach these topics. It almost saddens me to think of you there, you know, a year or so ago, just worried about raising the topic. I'm so glad that you kind of did. And again, we'll talk about the process and how we managed that in a moment. But This might be a tough question to answer, but is there anything that you think that either our business or any other business can do to make approaching that topic even easier, so that you weren't in such a tough, you didn't have that kind of moral conflict in your own mind?
Yeah. So I'm thinking that one of the things that allowed me to speak up about this and be open to this possibility is the business culture. And I know that Side Visibility was already offering flexible hours. We have been discussing about working remotely. We have been discussing about being an online agency, just not as a something that was set in stone and that was going to happen, but just the possibility. And it turned out that a few months after that, we had to do it. We were forced to do it because of this pandemic. But just having that culture, that closeness to the senior management, I remember I could go to you or to Jason with whatever is on my mind. We can at least discuss it. I said at the time, if this is not possible, fine. I just want to raise it and discuss it. So having that openness in other businesses could help employees brought up this topic. And having that trust between the senior management and the employees, it's also important. Being open and not be judgmental.
Yeah, the key message. A lot of it. Going back to my question, you know, is there anything businesses can do? It seems like it's kind of one is maybe the direct access when needed to maybe senior figures in a company. On topics like this that are so important. So that sounds like it's important. Again, cultures are really difficult. It's so broad, but having an open culture where things like this can be discussed, particularly flexible working, sounds like it's useful too. And I think just from my perspective, I can't really remember back a year ago, but post-pandemic, I think a lot of businesses, like I said, can expect these questions from their employees. So to prepare for that, I think just have in your plans, have in your schedule some kind of forum where you can discuss flexible working measures and your position within the company on those measures so that everyone is clear. And that will mean that any employee that's sitting there that needs flexible working, that wants to consider it, won't have to raise it on their own. That I guess that will eliminate that. And I remember that maybe I broadly raised it a year ago at Site Visibility because we do have flexible working hours, and I think around that time our marketing manager maybe as you said just started to work remotely or had been working remotely for a little while. So I can't actually remember the conversation myself, but you must have raised it eventually because you're there and I'm here. Can you remember how that conversation went? Was it okay? Did it alleviate your fears?
Yeah, it was very difficult the day before. Because I didn't know what to expect. But I also had a good relationship with Rachel, my line manager. Yeah. So I knew I could discuss it with her openly with no problem. I just took her to a meeting room. She thought I was going to hand my notice.
That's always what line managers think. It's like, oh no.
Yeah. I discussed it exactly what I just told you about how I was feeling, why I wanted to go back, how I was enjoying my work with Side Visibility, and how I just wanted to raise the possibility if it's something that could be discussed. And her response was really good. She was very excited to discuss it. A bit sad that I wanted to leave Brighton. But yeah, everything went very well from there. So I have no regrets, really, because I'm here.
Because you're there. And how long was it from that initial conversation to when you eventually left? Can you remember?
I think it was like 6 months.
6 months. So yeah. We went through roughly a 6-month planning period, you think?
Yeah.
Okay. And yeah, you're just reminding me about when I kind of found out the news. I hadn't really thought about it until this moment, but my initial reaction was excitement. Ultimately, I knew it would work. I had a feeling, I think, at that time that's something that I can't remember why, but I think I had an inkling that that's something that you were thinking about or wanted to consider and just hadn't raised it yet, I think. And I remember thinking, there's no way this won't work. This can work. I've no problem with it. And then I did have that immediate, that feeling of, oh, Marcos won't be in the office. And that does bring about this kind of immediate sadness as well. Hmm. And it's like, I guess it brings about some of those early thoughts of like separation anxiety.
Yeah.
And you kind of worry, whenever someone's removed from a team, it always changes the dynamic of a team. And so I knew in this case, the same thing would happen. It wouldn't be like things would be 100% the same. Dynamic of the team still change. And just from a management position, I knew that that's something I would have to think about. Maybe we'll get to that in a moment when we talk about measures that we then took to prepare. Okay. So, because ultimately what we had, one of the items that we had to replace was and don't blush when I say this, you're great in terms of teamwork, great in terms of offering your time, and a great natural trainer. So you're kind of a support in a team. You play a very useful supporting role in making sure that everyone else in the team is kind of you're approachable and people feel comfortable asking you questions. And that's, an invaluable skill to have in a team. And so aside from the emotional aspect, I was thinking, logistically, practically, that's a huge skill to lose on a day-to-day basis. And how would we replicate that? Maybe that's something we can come on to in a minute. I'm sure that's something you were aware of too.
Mm-hmm.
So we talk about a planning process then that took around 6 months. Can you talk me through that planning process and some of the key aspects of planning that you then started to work on?
Yeah. So as you said, 6 months of planning. The beginning was just discussed with senior management how we were going to do this, because we had experience with people working remotely, but not as remote as Tenerife. There were things that were asked, like, what is the time zone of Tenerife? Is it the same as in the UK? Do we need to consider that when booking meetings? And I said, it's fine. The Canary Islands have the same time zone as the UK. So we don't have to worry about that. Then other things we had to consider was communication, how and when I will communicate with the team, with the clients, with the manager. The other thing is we need to consider was the technology. What do I need to do my work? Because, of course, much of the work that I do had to do with technical SEO. A lot of technical elements that I need to check. So I needed not just the basic laptop and a phone, but we also had to consider software that I needed to use. And that's when the discussions around the having a VPN installed on my laptop started. And I'll talk about the VPN in a minute, because that's a very interesting topic. But other things that we have to consider was having quarterly reviews to make sure that everything was working out. It wasn't just me going ahead. And that's something I wanted to discuss as well, because I just didn't want to go away, start working remotely, and then forget about everything else. I wanted to make sure that that the company was feeling that my work was still valuable, that my efficiency hasn't been impacted. And finally, one final element that I wanted to consider, and that's something that I discussed with Rachel a lot, was how to stay in touch with the team, how to communicate with the team. Not so much the informal element of it, not so much about actual work, but more about teamwork. Because being such a small team, we develop ties with each other. So I wanted to make sure that that was still in place, that the team could still come to me to ask me questions or to just say how has your day been, things like that.
And in terms of all of those planning aspects, what do you think were the most difficult for you to kind of, or what, I guess, which elements of those planning measures are you still working on that you're still finding yourself improving on?
Well, I will have to say the communication aspect. It's an important element, and that's something that in general we all need to work on.
the communication. On the flip side,
On the flip side of the communication aspect, what things do you think our team could have done more of to help you, perhaps, and not just our team, any team out there that's kind of working with remote workers? I tell you one thing that comes to mind straight away for me, which we laughed at internally because it kept happening, was simple things, which I'm sure are infuriating for you, where we would just forget to invite you to meetings because we were so used to running up to the meeting room. Yeah. Or at the end of meetings, someone would just close their laptop and you'd be there on GoToMeeting, Slack, yeah, and so forth. And it would be like, goodbye, Marcos. Damn. And then you got. Are there any elements like that that stand out to you where you think there's kind of a mutual need to think about communication and lessons that you've learned?
There was a learning process for us, for all of us involved, me and the team. I think that they invited me to meetings and dialing me in and saying goodbye after the meeting was something that at the beginning, it was not a problem. It was more like a small issue that was there. And I have to keep reminding everyone, remember to include me in the calls. Remember that I'm here. But shortly, it became part of the process of booking a meeting and running a meeting. So I think that we quickly learned how to navigate those waters.
And so what are some of the outstanding challenges in terms of communication? Are there any things that you're still experiencing, that you're still working on, kind of more specifically? I guess the thing that stands out to me that must be really difficult are, I think, items like this, actually, although this is a podcast, it's a bit more informal. I guess things like, I guess there have been a few meetings that stand out to me where I've been there with a client and so has one of my team, but you've had to call in. And so you want to make some key points, and that must be really challenging to make those key points when you're not physically there in the room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that explaining my situation to clients, I don't think it's a problem, but I think it's something that we need to go through. We need to explain that I'm not there, but I have been there as part of the team for a while. I've been with cybersecurity for a long period of time. I've been working in SEO for quite a while. So there's a reason why I'm not there, but that shouldn't impact the work. I'm happy to jump in and make points. And that's something that I had to learn to sometimes make sure my points are coming across.
Good, yeah.
So that's something I had to learn on the work, really.
But it
wasn't as big as a problem as you may think.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Oh, good. Yeah, you've just reminded me of one thing that we haven't covered yet either is obviously the client aspect of this. And I guess it's such a low
it's a low priority in the grand scheme of things, because I knew that this could work out. But obviously one consideration in terms of all of this, I'm sure someone had asked me the question, what will our clients think about this? And it's really not something that I deeply thought about, because I knew that it comes down to the person. And I think you're an accountable person, you're an organized person, you're an expert at what you do. And so ultimately to me, it made no difference where you were doing it. I knew that it would work out. But if you're thinking about putting your team through a remote working process, perhaps even just trialing it, maybe just giving one person the flexibility, ultimately it doesn't necessarily come down to what will the clients think. I don't think that's really something that you can make your decision on. You've got a team to run, and you've got to deliver the best service that you can. And to deliver the best service you can, it comes down to the characteristics of the person that you're considering this for. And with you, Marcos, that's something that, you know, when we kind of said, yeah, there's no problem with this, it ultimately came down to the years of hard work and stuff that you had put in prior to that. We knew that wasn't going to be a problem. But it is definitely interesting, because it's a question that comes up. It's not one that I had a particularly concern for. And I think I was proven right, because this year has gone, it's actually gone a lot more smoothly from my perspective than I even expected. And I think that's because we put so much effort into some of those planning elements that you were just talking about.
Yeah.
Moving on just from some of the preparation, I am curious to know what it's been like for you in terms of working differences, working in Tenerife in comparison to the UK. Are there any kind of day-to-day working differences, cultural differences? I guess one thing that when you were considering going back home to Tenerife, did you look at the marketing industry out there? Is there a marketing industry out there? Was this a case where, whether it was a site visibility or otherwise, you were going to work remotely because you needed to?
I had considered the marketing industry in Tenerife. And it's interesting because there are a lot of small agencies here doing digital marketing. I think that a few years ago when I started looking, there weren't that many. But now it's something that it's appearing more and more. There are certain differences in the services they are offering, in the prices they are offering, in the value that businesses in general give to marketing, and digital marketing in particular. I think there are a lot of businesses in here, and most of the businesses here are small or medium size. And they don't consider digital marketing, either because they already have a known base of clients, or because they don't see the value. But I think that's rapidly changing. I know that there's a digital marketing conference happening here in Tenerife that it's only 2 or 3 years old. I have seen more businesses considering digital marketing. And now with this pandemic, there's a lot of businesses creating websites, looking into social media, looking into SEO or PPC as options to continue in business, really.
And so, what are some of the, ultimately you made the decision to feel more comfortable to, I guess, improve on that homesickness and be near family? I know we're in a pandemic and you probably had lockdown measures to adhere to, but did it meet your work? Not necessarily your work goal, your life goal. Mm-hmm. You feel more comfortable? You're happier?
Yes, indeed.
Good, that's what I want to hear.
That's a quick answer. Another thing that I want to mention is that my work routine hasn't changed that much. And that's partly because I forced myself to continue working the same way I was working in the UK. I want to keep roughly the same schedule that the team is having. So really when there's a bank holiday in the UK, I take that day off as well. But when there's a bank holiday in Spain, I am working. So it feels like I'm still working in the UK. Right. It's just that I'm here. And I think that having that routine has helped me a lot.
But that's one of the questions that I was going to ask you in terms of outside of the preparation exercises and over this last year, and outside of just marketing challenges and communication challenges with the team, are there any personal challenges that you face? Because that's such a big it's a big lifestyle change. And so you just touched there on routines, and it sounds like the way that you adapted was just by keeping your existing routine from the UK. Mm-hmm. So that stayed the same. And how about things like motivation? Because you haven't got a team around you. I don't know where everyone draws motivation and inspiration from different places. Have you kept that side of things going? And how's that been?
Mm-hmm. Motivation was one of my my concerns when I first moved in, because I wasn't sure what to expect. Even though we have the option to work remotely and have flexible hours, when I was already in Brighton, I hardly ever use it. I always prefer to go to the office. So when I started working from home, because that's another decision I had to make, do I want to work from home or do I want to rent a space? And I finally decided to work from home just to see what was the feeling and how it will go for me. And so far it's been great, really. So in terms of motivation, sometimes I do struggle. Motivation, concentration, things like that. I doubt myself a lot. And it's easy for me to just get lost in minor things. Focus on those minor things that distract me from work. Things like an email from a client or something that is happening on a particular website. And I start looking in Google Analytics, Screaming Frog, all of these different tools just to get obsessed with something. And then that could lead to demotivation and distractions. So I have to teach myself, to focus on the things that matter, to focus on my task list. It forced me to be more strict with my calendar and to plan better. And that's something I have found as a result of this. I'm better at planning. And another thing that has helped me a lot is having a coach. I have Mel Freeman, who you know, who has been helped me navigating through this process. And we have discussed a lot about motivation, planning, and things like that. And just having 1 hour every month to stop, think about what I have done, what I want to do, where I am at the moment, and what challenges I have faced. Even if it's talking about it out loud, it has helped me a lot, and it has helped me reflect. Is that the word, reflect?
Yeah, help you reflect on. Yeah, no, that makes sense. There was plenty of fascinating information in there as you were talking through that, Marcos. The aspect of kind of improving your planning. One thing that you mentioned there was having an external coach to help you with exercises in motivation. You mentioned Mel Freeman. So that's Mel Freeman. For anyone that's interested, that's Mel Freeman of, I think her company's Development Squared. I'm pretty certain it's Development Squared. So, and it's, I think her website is developmentsquared.com. So check her out. And then the other interesting thing, which I hadn't really even thought about, was your decision whether to work from home or then, I guess there are co-working spaces out there like we have in the UK.
Yeah. But at the beginning, because because when I first moved here, I didn't have a car. I wasn't sure what to expect. I only have my laptop and my wheel. So I preferred to stay at home at the beginning and see how things were going. And then I will consider going to a workspace or not. And so far, as I said, I'm very happy. And another thing that I have been working on is my room setup. And that's something I think it's very important as well, because you need to feel comfortable wherever you are. That's not just having a nice desk and a nice chair that will help you with your posture, but also just the atmosphere of the room needs to be good, needs to help you with your motivation. I have here my setup with my gerbils in it. I have a picture of the middle level.
I think I can hear them. Are they running around a wheel in the background?
No, that's probably just me.
Right. Are they sleeping?
Yeah, they're sleeping at the moment.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
They're sleeping most of the day. They only wake up at around 4.
Right.
Which is when I start getting distracted, but they're usually very, very nice. They usually behave themselves. And that helps me create a safe environment for me to work.
That's interesting that you say that. I mean, although we've got great editing skills, there was one section in this podcast today where you'll definitely hear my cat meowing for about a minute. Just working from home, we're all working from home at Site Visibility at the moment as I'm recording this. And my cat comes in and out, he meows, he wants attention. And even though for podcast recording, that's not ideal, there's definitely an element of, it helps. It's relaxing. I know there are scientific studies as well about animals and how they can reduce blood pressure and so forth, but I definitely think there's something to that. Is there anything, I'm curious now that you've mentioned about your room setup, is there anything else in the way you've set up your room or your room setup that you've intentionally made the decision to kind of position or design it in a way that helps you with productivity or motivation? Aside from your journal.
Yeah, I'm right in front of a big window. I have a big window, and that's something I know I wanted to keep the room very with a lot of light, because that's very important for me. And from the window, I can see I don't want to say green space because it's more brown than green, but I can see animals there, cats, birds. So having that connection with nature is very important for me. So that's
really nice.
It's really good.
That's nice to hear. What I might try and get you to do is take a photo, and we'll put that in the show notes on our website when we post this podcast. That'll be fun to look at. How far are you away from the beach there as well? That was fairly important to you, wasn't it? Being near the beach.
It was important for me, but strangely, I'm not as close to the beach as I was when I was working in Brighton, because the beach was.
Oh yeah, we were right on the seafront. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. In here, I needed to take my car.
Right.
But then I'm just like 10 minutes away from the beach by car.
And then to close out the podcast, Marcos, so going back to my intro, there's kind of two aspects to this podcast. There are businesses out there that might be now needing to consider, or perhaps we're already considering, remote working, whether that's specifically for SEO professionals or whether that's more generally. And on the flip side out there, there are going to be lots of people in marketing positions that are going to, perhaps that flexibility, that remote working will enhance their productivity, improve their lifestyle, improve their work-life balance. Marcos, what's your advice to businesses out there that are considering remote working options?
A few things, I think. The first thing is, as I said before, being open about different options to work remotely, flexible work, life balance. Consider all those things because they are important for employees. Plan in advance. Definitely have a process in place. Consider all variables. Keep your employees' happiness in mind, but without compromising your business objectives, because I assure you, they don't need to go in different directions. We can all work towards the same goal. And finally, trust. For employers out there, trust your employees, and for employees out there, trust your employers. Because that's something that really helped me making this decision. I felt there was mutual trust between all of us. It was a big step for me. And it turned out well. It turned out great. I'm very happy. I think the business is very happy with me. And everything turned out great in the end. And I have to thank you and Rachel and Jason and Cybersecurity and the entire team in general, because I haven't felt big changes. I go to the office once a month when there's no pandemics around the world. Nothing has changed really. So I'm very happy. Yeah.
That's almost the perfect ending. So I wish I could just end it there, but there are a couple of key points just to from that. Well, number one, thank you to Marcos. I mean trust goes two ways, right? And I talked about characteristics before. It was the hard work that you put into the years prior that left me with no doubt that this would be fine. Trust is we could do a whole, and we probably will cover the element of trust within business culture in a different podcast. But like I said, it's a two-way street between employers and employees when it comes to trust and building a culture of trust. But that does come from senior figures in a company, and so you have to create that, and you have to anticipate these things that are coming, and to create that culture of trust. There's one key thing that we haven't touched on throughout this podcast until this point, but I will make a note to say that when we were planning, one key aspect, which is so often missed from marketing in general, is we wrote down our plan in the form of an agreement. So it was a written plan. And so this wasn't all verbal. This wasn't just conversations and meetings. We actually have an agreement in place with Marcos that's written that really helped state the position of both parties. Which I also think helps with that element of trust. There's no ambiguity when you've got things written down. And so not only putting in the 6 months of planning or so and actually communicating that with the rest of our team, but writing it down, I know for me personally helped. I'm assuming that helped with you as well, Marcos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was good to see everything written down, because that way we could always go back to that agreement and see, okay, so what's happening now? And we discover even things we haven't considered. Like now in this pandemic, I cannot go back to the office. So what do we do in this case? So it's always good to have that in written format, but also to go back from time to time and review it and see if we could update it somehow. So that was good.
So have a written plan for remote workers if that's something you're considering, and a written agreement, and then make sure that you review it periodically. So Marcos, in closing, I just want to say thanks for your time today. That was a really interesting topic, and a topic that's, I guess, at the heart of lots of businesses and lots of employees right now. So I'm really glad that we talked that through. I'm so pleased that you are feeling happy, that you made the move, that we've experienced no issues from it. And that's a testament to your hard work as well. In closing, can you just let people know where they can find you?
Yes. You can find me first on the Cybersecurity website. You can find me there on the team page. But I'm also on LinkedIn, Marcos Alvarez Martin, Twitter, same name, Marcos Alvarez Martin. And then my email, if you want to contact me, my site visibility email is marcos.martin@sitevisibility.com.
And for all show notes for today's podcast, you can find them at sitevisibility.co.uk. We're on all major podcast platforms where you can also find the show notes. I'm Scott Colnut, the new host of the Internet Marketing Podcast, and you can find me on LinkedIn. If you just search for Scott Colnut, you can find me on Twitter at Scott Colnut, or you can message me with feedback at scott.colnut@sitevisibility.com. Thanks for your time today, Marcos. Thanks to all our listeners. I really want to hear your feedback, and goodbye for now.
Thank you. Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.